All right, welcome back. Special edition of Who's Talking. This is our season six wrap-up show. Frank and Habbo in the studio, along with Chris Sill and Jesse, our engineer. And as Frank said a little earlier, we're dedicating the show tonight to Frank's late brother, John. So really appreciate the opportunity to do that and send our condolences out to the Maloney family. But from the standpoint of WhoLand, and we're going to be joined by Chris Wright, the Sabre editor, here momentarily, but talking a little tennis tonight with the NCAA championship tennis team, Colin Altamirano, right? Am I saying that right?
Well done.
We were joined by Colin earlier, one of the Virginia tennis stars that brought home the hardware to Charlottesville, and talking a lot of college baseball tonight with the Hoos having, I wouldn't say it's a miracle run, but maybe a little bit of a surprise run to the College World Series this year. So it's kind of special what Brian O'Connor and his troops have been able to do. And as we said before we went off in that last segment, Still something to be accomplished going forward. You know, Virginia got to the last game last year in the best of three championship series. So ideally, maybe the Cavs can get back there and reverse that outcome this year and get some more hardware.
You know, a couple thoughts. First off, Chris, jump in anytime, because Chris Sill loves baseball, good friends with Tyler Wilson and Tyler Biddix and everybody else named Tyler that ever played at UVA in baseball. But Derek Fisher, who I got to interview in a group setting a year or two ago, did something really remarkable about a week ago where he just went off. He's playing in the Cal League, and I don't remember the team exactly, but he had 12 RBI in one game.
And it was his high A debut.
Yes.
That's the remarkable thing. First at bat, first pitch, home run.
Grand slam.
Grand slam.
Oh, hold on. Two grand slams, and then he had another home run. Then he had a double that drove in like three players. He hit everything they threw at him, and it couldn't happen to a better guy. I do recall this. I got to see Derek hit a home run against the VCU Rams out at the Diamond a year or two ago, and he drove it over the right field wall, and the wind was blowing in, and someone in the press box might have been Tim Perrell, who covers a lot of those games for your Richmond Times-Dispatch, made the comment, not many people do that. And we actually looked it up. And that season, only one other player that came to the Diamond hit a home run over the right field wall because the wind blows in so hard there. And it was something I was not aware of. I guess, you know, you got to see the squirrels and whatever, but you just don't realize where the home run's going. And so anyway, we wished Derek Fisher, best of luck in his pro career. Nice guy, power hitter. I think he's going to do some big things. So,
speaking of Tyler's, you saw Tyler Wilson pitched up for the Orioles a couple of weeks ago.
And the Orioles must be knuckleheads. They sent him back to AAA or something.
Yeah.
He played a great game. He pitched well. He kept him in the game, and nobody could get a hit for him except for Davis hit a home run in like the ninth inning to make the game close.
Right.
But the little bit of the game that I could follow, and then I obviously studied all the stats, Tyler, I think it won't be long before he's up there with the Orioles as a regular.
And you see some of the quotes that Buck Showalter had about him. It's neat. You know,
yes.
He said this guy's been told no by a lot of people, and he just has a tenacity and a focus that you don't see. So
he has an awesome foundation. He came from Midlothian. Just a solid all-round athlete, and he married well. Chelsea Shine, I bet you they have some athletic children. Watch, she's about 6'11". I mean, hey, Habbo's pointing at me like he's trying to tell me something I don't already know.
You're always controlling Frank, man.
I was giving him the Dean Smith assist. He had an assist.
Just do the joystick. So we got Chris Wright of the Sabre, a longtime friend, ally, contributor, all-around good guy. Chris, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you. How are you guys doing?
We're having a raucous good time back here in Richmond. And we've been talking a lot of baseball, but we're willing to talk about anything that you think is newsworthy today, tonight, about the Wahoos. And what do you think the top three stories right now on the Sabre are?
think baseball is definitely number one. You know, that fan following has really grown under O'Connor, but in particular the last 5 or 6 years when they've made the College World Series 3 times. So the interest level has really, really grown with baseball. And I think this year in particular, since no one expected this late season run, the way things were going in April, the excitement level is definitely up. And then from there, it's definitely basketball recruiting number two. I don't think there's any question that that's the number two thing on people's mind is what's going on with Tony Bennett's guys.
All right, well, on that subject.
Let's go to basketball, because Hubbo just started drooling over
that's
here.
That's right. I was over here asleep until you said that.
Basketball.
Now, so what is happening on the basketball recruiting side for the sake of Hubbo and our listeners?
Yeah, the biggest thing is a decommit in the last 2 weeks. Sasha Kilia Jones, I'm not sure if I said that right. But
he just has too many names.
Yeah.
Just
he
kidding.
He committed and is reevaluating his options. So that's been the biggest headline. And what seems to be an off-season of headlines, you know, since you guys have finished your regular season shows back in April, a lot of stuff has happened on the basketball front. A different commit, Jay Huff from North Carolina, another four-star recruit, another post, which may have something to do with why Kilia Jones decommitted, joined the program. As soon as Virginia offered, he accepted. He's a 6'10", real skinny, face-up type of post.
But he can dribble.
He can dribble. He can shoot a little bit. He's real thin, so he might need a redshirt year, but he committed. One guy decommitted. They hired a new assistant coach. This is supposed to be the offseason for basketball.
Well, Richie McKay had to go take a new job so he could make the big money back at Liberty. But talk a little bit about this whole thing with Sasha. You know, he's at VES. Curtis Staples is the coach out there. It seemed like Sasha Kilia Jones was a really good fit for Virginia. And looking at his videos and so forth and talking to other basketball nuts, they all thought that he would be a perfect fit in Virginia's system. So what's happening in that household?
Yeah, and that's why it is a hot topic that he decommitted. You know, he's a four-star recruit, and he does look like he would project really well into the system. He's still considering Virginia. That's typically not how these things work. When a guy decommits, typically doesn't end up back at the same school. But that doesn't mean he won't. I think what happened is two things. One, I think he committed early before he really went on official visits and kind of had the thrill ride that recruiting can be. And then his stock rose. And when his stock rose, I think he had a little bit of fear of missing out maybe on official visits and things like that. I think when he went back home to Chapel Hill, even though he goes to school in Lynchburg, some folks might have had some conversations with him to encourage him to explore his options, which would include North Carolina, I'm sure. So,
oh, those Tar Heels, they would never do something like that. They're nice people. They would never try to undermine air verbal commit, would they?
I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure they would at least speak to him.
Probably the same.
I guess it would be inappropriate that somebody told him he had to go to class if he went to Virginia.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. That's probably a good reason. I bet you some of those guys that worked on Ronald Curry all those years ago probably were involved as well, but we're not going to give them any more credibility. All right, so let's pivot back to this whole thing with baseball.
The smaller round ball.
It's the phenomenon that is, three coaches that came to Virginia, McMillan, Kuhn, and Brian O'Connor. And they've stayed together, and they keep putting together these great teams, and here they're going back to Omaha. What's your sense of what this team can do this year, even though Nathan Kirby does not appear to be available to play?
He might be for Omaha. He threw to live batters for the first time today in 7 weeks. There's a story that is on the web in the Richmond Times that will probably be in the Richmond Times tomorrow morning if you want to read about it. Mike Barber over there wrote a story and talked to Kirby about it. So he might be available for Omaha. We'll see. That hasn't been decided yet. They'll have to go through some more steps this week. But without him, I think their opportunity to get out of pool play is going to be really, really hard. With Arkansas, Miami, and Florida all in that side of the bracket, you're probably going to need more than two starting pitchers, which is essentially what Virginia survived the regional round and the super regional round with.
Right.
Is really two starters, giving them real deep innings. You need probably a third, either Johnny Holstaff day where a whole bunch of guys make it work, or you need a third quality starter. So we'll see. We'll see. The pool play part is going to be hard. If they get through that and then they're in a best two out of three for the national championship, I think those two starting pitchers, Jones and Waddell, especially if you have Kirby and Spores maybe available, Virginia has enough pitching to maybe make something happen in a two out of three series. I just think the first part of that is going to be the tough part, getting out of that double elimination pool play.
Yeah, speaking of the pool, were you surprised that Florida handled Florida State as easily as they did?
Yes, definitely. You know, Florida State has been good all year long, and they're usually so competitive at this time of year. And then Florida is just red hot. They seem to be rolling at the right time. We've seen the SEC do that before in baseball. So not too surprising that an SEC team or teams are in the mix here. It could be an SEC-ACC party out in Omaha with a lot of teams making it from both conferences.
All right, I'm gonna pivot again. Let's talk a little bit about UVA football. You got 10 verbal commits for 2016, but I think one of the more interesting phenomenons, no sooner did Lambert decide to boogie than Albert Reed announces he's going to come play running back for the Wahoos. You know, and you've got this guy Thorpe who transferred from UNC. It almost seems blasphemous going back to the old days that a Tar Heel and a Terrapin are going to suit up and play ball on offense for the Wahoos this coming year.
It definitely kind of strange to see old rivals players transferring in for immediate playing time. That's such a new phenomenon, the whole transfer thing in general, but particularly from rival to rival. So the whole graduate transfer rule allows these guys not to sit out if you graduate first and you go to a program that academically that they don't have at your school, you can play immediately. So it's interesting, definitely interesting. And then the other part is so many guys transferring out. You know, you got several guys on their way out and several guys on their way in. So there's like a whole shuffling of the deck chairs, so to speak, going on with what could be the last hurrah for Mike London, depending on what the season unfolds like.
Oh, he's got a cupcake schedule. This is the year he gets 7 or 8 wins. All right. So did Jameel Kamara leave Charlottesville? There were rumors.
Yeah, he's definitely transferring out, yeah.
What was he thinking? He only gave it 1 year.
You know? I think it's hard to say. Like, kids, you know, nowadays are so – it happened in basketball first, but it's trickled over to football. I want to play right now. And Kamara definitely is a guy that thinks very highly of his abilities and wants a shot to get a lot more playing time than he got here at Virginia.
All right, so this just comes across our desk thanks to our intrepid recruiting news gathering source. That would be Jesse Varner. College basketball just announced that the 30-second shot clock has been approved for this coming season. So they've reduced it from 35 to 30 seconds.
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah, that was expected. They did the committee suggestions back in early May, and then the official word coming out today that it's been approved. So,
as a basketball coach, what's your view from the Virginia standpoint? I know I have my opinion, but I'll ask yours first.
I think one, the 30-second shot clock is something college basketball needed. Aside from Virginia, 35 is too long. 30, I actually think helps Virginia. I don't see any way that. But this is a bad thing for Virginia. You know, their defense is good for 35 seconds. It should definitely be good for 30. Their offense, it might give a little more urgency at times. Virginia is very deliberate and very good at shot selection and being efficient. And ultimately, teams that are efficient, Virginia, Wisconsin, teams like that, that are so focused on a per-possession quality. You want to get a good quality possession on both ends each time. The length of the shot clock really doesn't matter. Because the principles underlying that are still going to be there.
I agree with that.
Well, but I my feeling has been that so many teams struggled to get a good shot against Virginia in 35 seconds. 30 is just going to make it that much more difficult, and teams are going to be forced to take even tougher shots. So I agree. I think it does help Virginia, and my guess is
Wisconsin,
even though there are going to be more possessions. I think that Virginia may actually give up fewer points next year than they did this past season with the 35-second shot clock.
Virginia certainly gets more out of its possessions than a lot of teams do. So having more of them doesn't seem like a bad thing to me. I think Virginia is so possession-oriented that this is going to help them more than anything. And not to sound like a homer too much, But frankly, I don't really care if they make the shot clock zero or 100. If Tony Bennett's the coach, I suggest that he'll figure it out.
Hey, on who's talking, you're allowed to be a homer.
That's a shocker, Javo.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Chris, we're going to have to bid you adieu. And we thank you for joining us here on our wrap show for Who's Talking Season 6. We'll be back in late August for Who's Talking 7, and we hope you'll be joining us for that first show of the new season as we preview UVA at UCLA, which has a 3:30 kickoff. So that's going to be a lot of fun coming up. What's the date of that thing? That's like September 5th.
September the 5th. And we anticipate our show will be August 31st if it's Monday night. But anyway, Chris, thanks as always. Have a great summer.
Thanks much.
All right, take care. All right, we're going to head to break. On the other side, we're going to talk about everything Wahoo. May even talk about UNC getting hit with five NCAA violations. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.